The conflict between Israel and Hamas can be difficult to talk about, and it's especially sensitive for people with a connection to the region. Many people of Jewish and Muslim faith in the United States are feeling the pain of that war on the other side of the planet, and it could shape how they view the conflict and the parties involved. It can make it harder for us to have conversations about contentious issues like this one, especially with people who have different beliefs than our own. A new center on the UW-Madison campus is working to bridge those religious divides and promote better cooperation and understanding. We're learning more about how to have better, more productive dialogue with people of different religious backgrounds. You can join in at 800-642-1234. How often do you interact with people of different faiths than your own? Have you talked to friends or acquaintances about this Israel-Hamas war? How have those conversations gone? Do you have questions about how to have those kind of difficult conversations? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Ulrich Rosenhagen is the interim director of the Center for Interfaith Dialogue at UW-Madison and an ordained Lutheran pastor. Ulrich, welcome to Central Time.
Hello, glad to be here.
First of all, can you tell us about this still relatively new Center for Interfaith Dialogue? What kind of things are part of your mission?
Well, it is new and it is not that new. I'm doing interreligious work on campus for 16 years with different centers. But it's new now because it moved from the College of Letters and Science to Student Affairs, and the emphasis is now different of the interfaith work with the new center. The first center was the Luba Institute for the Study of the Abrahamic Religions. The second one was the Center for Religion and Global Citizenry. And now it's the Center for Interfaith Dialogue.
What kind of things do you do to try to convene interfaith dialogue, to bring people together and have hopefully civil conversations, even with people of different faith and other backgrounds?
Yeah, the core of the center is a student community. It's a group of students whom we call interfaith fellows, and they work closely with me for the full academic year. And the program I developed over the years has different stages. So it's actually very much the same every year, kind of the way it's designed. The first phase is that students come, get to know each other, build relationships, develop trust. We give ourselves a set of rules. In the second phase, students learn from each other. So it's what I call the religious literacy phase. We talk about core values, core convictions, stories, sacred stories from our traditions. We explain practices, holidays. We come together over potluck, etc. The third phase then is that we experience as an interfaith community, we experience different things. We go to different places of worship. We go on a silent retreat, an overnight retreat where we explore contemplative traditions. And then the students, the interfaith fellows also organize program on campus and then actually execute that. So that's part of the learning process, that they're able then to facilitate dialogue and organize dialogue on campus.
After going through a process like that, do you find that people of different faith backgrounds come away feeling more positively about each other or better able to communicate with people who are from different traditions than their own?
Well, I hear from students who have gone through the program and are out now, 5, 10, 12 years, that the program always has helped them when they graduate and then start a professional life. They always help them to work in groups, in the workplace, in a corporate setting, because, you know, wherever we are living in diverse communities. And a piece of that program is that you learn how to negotiate difference. You learn, or you realize you don't have to be the same. You can come from very different ends of the spectrum, and then you discover what you have in common, what you share, and also where you disagree. And you do this in a very respectful way. So there are different things my fellows learn, different things they reflect upon, and the feedback I receive from my, if you will, my alumni is very, very good. So they always say that they benefited enormously from the program.
Talking to Ulrich Rosenhagen with the Center for Interfaith Dialogue at UW-Madison, talking about having conversations, including about difficult issues among people of different faith backgrounds. Ulrich, the center's Faith Advisory Council released a statement last week about First Amendment speech on Israel and Palestine, urging the public to, quote, speak freely but with humility, end quote, and to act strongly but do not harm. Can you talk a little bit about what you hope people take away from the message, that message, as we have this very divisive, in many cases, debate here in the United States?
Well, obviously, at a public university, First Amendment rights are very important. But I think we tend to forget that what is legally allowed or what is our right based on the Constitution needs to be kind of embedded in a moral, in a set of values, in some form of moral imagination. And that's basically what we try to express in this statement, that we don't have to always insist on this right, or when we speak, when we make use of the right to express ourselves, the right to free speech, we may harm other people. So we have to be respectful in the community we live. We have to recognize the other, take into regard how our words can harm and other people, and that is something I think that council we have at the center expressed in a beautiful way. I think emphasizing that we respect each other and we have to be mindful of the way we conduct ourselves when we use our freedom of speech.
And that statement actually cites religious documents from Islam, Judaism, and Christianity that point toward that ability to have that kind of civil conversation. Can you talk about how we can find that call in different religious traditions?
Well, I think that all great religious traditions share things like the dignity of the individual, the sanctity of human life, ideas of justice, of compassion. That is, I mean, across the board, you go from one tradition to the next, and our sacred texts, our sacred rituals express this, remind us of this, and also give us a story where we can place ourselves in. And because it's an interfaith council, because we have several different traditions, we wanted to express this. We wanted to show, we wanted to say, we draw in our respect for the other, in our humility when we speak and use our right to express ourselves. And this humility, we draw on our sacred texts, on our religious traditions. And we find this, you pointed at the three examples we mentioned in the statement. We wanted to say this is not just one tradition. And we share this. And though we are different, though we disagree on issues, though we worship differently, we have deeply held beliefs we all have in common.
A lot of the interactions we see, especially in the news, are a protest and counter-protest, or people from with different perspectives, say on Israel and Hamas and the Palestinians on different sides. Obviously, it can be very heated. People may have genuine and well-founded grievances coming from any of those perspectives. In that kind of situation, without that, I think, safety of an interfaith group like yours, how can we, I don't know, turn down the heat a little bit to recognize each other's, to hear each other's arguments?
Well, first of all, I think you have to have a community where you do this, where you have to have an interfaith community. So you need to have friends, classmates who come from a different tradition. And then you hope that the bonds you have built over time, the relationships you have built, are strong enough that even in a moment of crisis, they don't break apart. Then I guess you also share the grief in those groups. I mean, in my current student group, so I have Sikhs, Hindu, variety of Christian, Jewish and Muslim. And their stories following the conflict are very personal and very traumatizing. So you want to have relationships where you can still sit and listen, and be careful, be mindful of the trauma, the shock, the other experienced. It's the creation of small groups that are together and willing to listen to each other, and in situations of crisis, which I think is something very helpful.
We're talking to Ulrich Rosenhagen from the UW-Madison Center for Interfaith Dialogue about how to have healthy, productive conversations with people of different faiths than our own, even when it comes to controversial and divisive topics like Israel and Palestine. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you done some kind of interfaith work, maybe in your own community? Do you have friends or family members of different religious backgrounds? How do you talk to each other about those different faith traditions? And what kind of conversations have you had with people in your life about the conflict in Gaza? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org. We'll continue the conversation coming up here on Central Time. You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation with Ulrich Rosenhagen, Interim Director of the Center for Interfaith Dialogue at UW-Madison, talking today about how to talk about topics, including controversial topics like the conflict between Israel and Hamas. When we're talking to people of different faith backgrounds, he says we need to create communities of people getting to know each other, getting to understand each other. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Have you, in a formal way or maybe in an informal way, had these kind of dialogues in your life with people of different faith groups? Do you work in community groups that bring together people from different backgrounds like that? Join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Let's bring on a caller now. Mike is with us in Minocqua. Mike, hello.
Hi, Rob. Just wondering, you know, worldviews do come into opposing positions. And so if it's something really important, say the Judeo-Christian perspective based on biblical teaching that the Jewish people have a right to the land that they're in now, as opposed to maybe Arabic and Islamic traditions and faith teaching that would be opposed to that. So if we have two views that are in direct opposition to one another, either one's right and the other's wrong, or they're both wrong, and how do we have a conversation when we're in a situation like that?
Mike, interesting question. Ulrich, what do you think?
Well, I usually try to avoid these absolute truth questions, this one is right and one is wrong. I tend to think that once you look closer, things are always more complex than they seem at first sight. For Israel, I mean, it's a phrase people use is it's two people, three religions, and they all somehow belong there and have relations and histories that are deeply entwined and with the land historically. There are different, the narratives are entwined. So I don't like these either or questions, and I don't believe that we can have reality that's sanitized, if you will, that separated by this is right and this is wrong. In fact, I used to quote a text to my students that I like a lot by a rabbi, Brett Hirschfield, who used to be part of the settler movement and then returned to the U.S. And the book is titled And you don't have to be right for me to be wrong. So the idea is that two things can be true at the same time, and the title expresses that. I think we need to learn that different things can be right, maybe true at the same time.
Mike, thanks for the call. I always think back, Ulrich, to, you know, Europe in the 15 and 1600s, where if you asked people, you know, is it possible for Protestants and Catholics to live in the same country peacefully? I think the answer would for those of them be no. Obviously, things have managed to change since then. So sometimes, hopefully, seemingly intractable oppositions, as Mike is suggesting there, can get resolved over time.
Well, that's the hope. That's the vision. And I actually think that interfaith dialogue can help us with this. I think that religion, at least the way I make sense of the different religious traditions, they can coexist. They can be both true. What's true for me is not necessarily true for someone else. And we have to learn this. I think that's the big challenge in the 21st century, living in a diverse America, living in religious pluralism. That means we have to learn that we coexist. And the beautiful piece is when we discover what we have in common, the mutuality religious traditions share. And that's, I think that's the process we are in, if you will, historically speaking.
Talking to Ulrich Rosenhagen with the Center for Interfaith Dialogue at UW-Madison, talking about how to promote dialogue between people of different faith backgrounds. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. We'll go to another caller now. Anne is with us in Milwaukee. Anne, hello.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call. I just would like to make a point, or maybe ask your guests if you could comment on the fact that Judaism is not Zionism. And it seems to me that both Zionism and Israel have cloaked themselves in a mantle of Judaism to deflect criticism of the Zionist ideology of occupation in the political state of Israel.
And thanks for the call, Ulrich. I don't know if you want to weigh in on the distinction Anne is making, but is it easy when we try to have interfaith dialogue to get caught up in how we define ourselves, how we define others along the lines that Anne's talking about?
And I'm certainly not an expert on what is Zionism. It started out as a utopian movement in 19th century Europe. Today, my students, some students have a very different idea of what it means. I think interfaith dialogue helps us to create a space where we can kind of define or figure out what are our definitions. How do we make sense of certain terms that are buzzing around? And so it's helpful to listen to each other and hear when we use a word like Zionism, what do you mean by this? And that might not be the same I mean when using that term. So what I'm doing on campus certainly creates a space that we can wrestle with these definitions and hopefully come out with a better and bigger understanding of each other.
And thanks a lot for the call. Ulrich, this kind of interfaith work you're doing sounds like a good setting for people to get to know each other and a safe space, if you will, to have these kind of conversations in a productive way. A lot of times, again, I keep coming back to when two people meet each other at a protest from different sides or run into each other online, often they're complete strangers. There is no community between them in some ways. What would you ask people to keep in their minds in that situation where they may be escalating a conversation, a dispute with someone that they don't even know?
Well, I'm in a slightly better position because my center is a UW-Madison center. So I have a community. Mm-hmm. I have a campus community. And students know that although they're different and they They come from different religious traditions. They traffic in different student communities. In the end, we are all in this together as a campus community. I think the statement and appealed in its essence, appealed to people, even if you express your free speech, and make sure not to do harm. So that's, we have to be careful that our conversations don't turn into heated arguments and then escalate even further. I think it, with my fellows, I hope, or my idea, my hope is that my interfaith fellows can be on campus at least, something like ambassadors at large, who can facilitate conversation and can get between people before the situation escalates. And so we have to contain ourselves. I think we also have to remember that there is an, if you will, so moral values, a moral imagination, if you will, that needs to go along with us using the First Amendment. We have to be mindful the way words and actions resonate on with someone of a different opinion from a different group. And we kind of anticipate this and don't let things escalate. I think interfaith dialogue can teach you this, because it's, you're in this, in a diverse group of students, a diverse group of people. And that's what we are on campus, and that's what we are in America. We are in this as a diverse community, and be mindful of that, and that I think will help.
Ulrich, we'll leave it there. Thanks again for joining us today.
All right. Happy to be here.
That's Ulrich Rosenhagen, Interim Director of the Center for Interfaith Dialogue at UW-Madison, with us to share how we could have better conversations about sometimes controversial topics with people who have different faiths than our own.